You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. This is the gospel of the Lord. Praise be to thee, O Christ. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be pleasing and acceptable in your sight, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please do take a seat. So as we look at these early chapters in Matthew's Gospel, we're looking at the values of the kingdom of God on earth, and that is to say the character of the children of the kingdom, the subjects of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of Christ, what God's people will look like. And in today's Bible reading from Matthew 5, Jesus calls us simply to let our faith make a difference in the world around us, to be salt and light, and so not to hide our light under a bowl or a bushel so that no one can see. And of course, it is easy to equate humility with being silent. But in fact, that really depends on what you're telling people, what the message is. Some people are tempted to boast and brag, and as Christians, some are tempted to show off and we love being in the limelight. So I think here's the wisdom. When tempted to shine, then hide. When tempted to hide, then shine. And I think many Christians have a tendency to want to hide, and that's probably true of most of us. I was speaking to someone on a pastoral visit just last week, and the chap said to me that his parents were much less obvious about their Christian faith than he was. They didn't have the language to talk about their faith and what it was to be a Christian. And I think it's fair to say the older generation are often very faithful Christians, committed to church life. They've been going every week for their whole life, but often don't have the tendency or desire or the habit of being outward in their faith, if you like. And I've heard it said that it might be to do with the post-war need for a peace and rest and quietness after such a harrowing period of our history, that things just settled down and we've got that generation growing up in that context. I've seen a similar thing in our own wider family. But you see, for a younger generation, it seems that the winds of change have been blowing, and we seem to be willing to be more outward as Christians, to stand up in sort of public and be counted perhaps a little bit more. And it can cause older Christians sort of concern, and it makes us a bit unsettled. I have to say, on the other hand, that just an observation, all of this, judging one way or the other, but probably the younger generation in general isn't willing quite so much to commit as the older generation have done weekly to the life of the church, to commit to stand for office and so on. It becomes increasingly hard. So I'm wanting to encourage you, and especially if you've got grown-up Christian children who do seem super keen and eager Christians. I know that can be hard when you've brought them up as Christians and then you've taken them to church. I want to encourage you that it's not an indictment, but that just something has probably changed in those last 20 or 30 years. But I think it begs the question, why does Jesus want us not to keep quiet and to let the light shine? Why can't we have a little more of a private faith? Well, I think we might be helped by that quotation by the Irish author, political theorist and philosopher Edmund Burke, who once said, All tyranny needs to gain a foothold is for men of good conscience to remain silent. And you might have heard the perhaps slightly more famous one, all that is necessary for the triumph of evil is for good men to do nothing. So both speech and deed, if you like. Abraham Lincoln said, to sin by silence when they should protest makes cowards of men. And I think these are true observations of life. And of course, we know that when the good depart, it leaves a vacuum that's in danger of being filled by all kinds of evil. And in a sense, therefore, we get a bit closer to what Jesus is speaking about here when he calls us to let the light of Christ within us shine brightly, so that it fills the home, so that it fills the village, the workplace, society at large. It keeps the space around us from becoming a vacuum to be filled by something else. And you've got to ask the question, why does Jesus say this here in Matthew chapter 5, verse 13? It's not an accident that he's just finished the Beatitudes, which finished last week, you'll remember, with three whole verses dedicated to the persecution of Christians. And you see, we're not hardwired to enjoy suffering, are we? Unless we're complete masochists by nature, our overwhelming tendency is to avoid suffering at any cost. And I think that's precisely what's driving the explosion of health and safety laws in our country. Safety, for many people at least, has become their most important god, and they do their very best to serve and please him. Of course, safety is a good thing, isn't it? None of us wish for suffering. But that's the real temptation for us too, I think. Because the easier thing for the Christian to avoid suffering for being a Christian is to keep his head well down. We all know that if we put our head above the parapet, we're going to get shot at. That's the nature of things. And you know, it is hard, but we get encouraged by seeing other Christians do it. And I think this is a great motivation. At theological college, I had the opportunity of going down onto the streets of London to talk to people about Jesus. And I went with about three others, and as we approached the place we planned to station ourselves, I began to get a bit nervous, and I was wondering how long it would take for someone to stop and engage in conversation. I kept rehearsing what I might try to say, and sort of fumbling around with the word. I was rather taken aback when Richard, one of the others, without any delay, went straight up to a man on his way to the tube and started to engage him in conversation. He lost no time at all. I thought, he's got guts. And I realised that if I was going to have any success, and I'd need to stop worrying about what I was going to say, it's only pride after all, and start inviting people to find out about Jesus. And so Richard's courage emboldened me too. So I think there's an aspect of letting our light shine really helps other Christians to be counted. And it might be as simple as wearing a cross, wearing a fish maybe, on your lapel, just something, but maybe growing to learn to speak of him more and more, to share our faith, not to be afraid or ashamed of belonging to Christ. And of course, remembering that it's not the church we're promoting and glorifying, it's not ourselves, it's not good within us that we're celebrating, it's Jesus Christ within us. He's the one we're trying to glorify. It's fair to say that the church would simply not exist if it were not for Christians throughout the world, throughout the ages, refusing to keep silent, even in the face of persecution, standing their ground, refusing to budge on their faith, speaking up and being counted. So friends, let your light shine before men, that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. Amen.